Okay, can you hear me? Okay, good morning. Mr. Ray kind of went against what I was going to tell you, so I'll let y'all decide who to listen to. Just a couple of things that may help you with your viewing pleasure this morning. My wife and kids tell me that I holler when I talk into the cell phone. So that's one thing. They said, do you understand that you can just talk right there, that you don't have to holler to Greensboro or Elon or wherever I'm talking to? And then this, about a month ago, a friend of mine from Orlando that's a lifetime friend, Todd Lewis, came up for my dad's visitation, and he came through. We had a picture up there as they were waiting to come through the line. And it had me and my dad and my friend Todd Lewis, my friend Wesley, and my friend Mike Leonard. And when my friend Todd Lewis came through, he said, took a picture of it, and he said, I can't believe it. You look the same you did 29 years ago when you were married to Lisa. So I was feeling good about myself. And then he said, I didn't say you look good. You look goofy as ever. So he broke me back down quick. So if you want to make it the screen smaller, zoom out instead of zoom in and cut the volume down, that might help you. I'm going through the book of John. We previously studied parts of John chapter 1, and we talked about Jesus, the eternal Word, who created everything that was made. We then studied about Jesus being the light of the world who takes us out of the darkness of sin and into His marvelous light. So if you will be turning to John chapter 1. Today we're going to study about the one who was the witness of this marvelous light. Today we're going to learn about John the Baptist that is introduced in John chapter 1 verses 6 through 8. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Today we're going to study John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've got several things. I'll just go over a quick outline of what we're going to, and we'll get to as much as we can. We're going to look at his miraculous birth, the excitement that he had for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the purpose that he had and the preaching that he did. Then we're going to talk about the baptism of Jesus, that he baptized Jesus. Then we're going to look at a difficult topic that I'm having a little trouble with, and maybe somebody later can come back and help me with it. But it's the identity of John the Baptist, whether he was Elijah or not. And then we're going to talk about his humility. And this one was kind of puzzling to me, the doubts that he had. But actually, after I started thinking about it, it helped me in my own life when I go through low times or doubts, that even John the Baptist went through that as well. But the Lord was gracious to him. Praises from Jesus. And then we'll talk about his death, his martyrdom, if we can get to that. So if you will, turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at John the Baptist's birth. As you'll see, a constant theme throughout this is John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the one that went in front of Jesus, prepared the way for Jesus. And that was true even in his birth. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said to him, this was talking to Zacharias, his father, who was a priest, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So we see here in this first chapter of Luke, most of us are familiar with Luke chapter 2 and talking about the birth of our Lord and Savior. This is talking about the forerunner, John the Baptist. And it's more than that. I just picked out four or five verses from this story. But basically, Zacharias and Elizabeth were past childbearing age, like Abraham and Sarah. So they were thinking that they weren't going to have a child, but they were praying for one. And God was getting ready to answer that prayer. The story goes on when he was born that they were wanting him to call him Zacharias or something in the family name, but they called him John. Zacharias had lost his voice. He was mute because he didn't believe the word of the Lord. Gabriel came and told him that he was going to have a baby, and he didn't believe it. So he was made mute until they asked him what was the name of the baby, of the child, and he had to write down on a slate or whatever. He said, his name is John. And then he showed him that, and then the people rejoiced, and he got his voice back, and he gave praise to God. So you can go back through. It goes pretty much through all of Luke chapter 1, the story. But we've got other things that I want to focus on. But I just wanted you to see here that John was born before Jesus Christ. The angel Gabriel predicted this, and this was a blessing and an answer to prayer for John and Elizabeth. And it was shown that he was going to go in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The main thing I want you to get from this, if you don't get anything else, is that John the Baptist pointed to Jesus Christ. And I'm just thinking about us during this time of uncertainty, as Steve and others have been talking about, that we have an opportunity right now, I think like no other that I can remember, is that we can point people to Christ as they're struggling, they're scared, they're worried. This is an opportunity where we can do that. John the Baptist came into a world that was not that peaceful as well. The Romans were in charge of them. They were in bondage, and he pointed them to Jesus Christ. And I think that's an opportunity for us as well as we go through this, to please remember to point people to Christ. Okay, so one thing I thought about our brother John here that is with us, John Yont, the name John, I had never seen this before, means Jehovah has been gracious. And I'm sure that John's parents thought of the same when they had him, and John the Baptist, Zacharias and Elizabeth were thankful that Jehovah had been gracious to them and gave them a son. Okay, the next thing I want to focus on is the excitement. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Luke 1:41. So we're going to pick up a little bit later on in the story, and this is about the excitement. And I thought this was a neat part of the story. Luke 1:41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out loud with a voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And I was just thinking about what a neat thing that was, and thinking about our next door neighbor, Amelia Yarborough, is expecting, and seeing her and her sister, Louisa, who is also expecting, walking up and down the road, getting their exercise, and how happy they are about the upcoming babies. And thinking about these two babies in the womb, John the Baptist is in his mother's womb, of course, and then Jesus in his Mary's womb. And when those two ladies come together, when those two infants come together, John the Baptist, in my mind, is so excited he leaps up because the Lord and Savior is coming up close to him. So I thought that was neat, that he is showing excitement before he is even born. And I'm thankful for that, and thinking about how much we should be excited when we get to go to worship the Lord, when we get to pray, when we get to study His Word, that should be a feeling of excitement. When we get to tell someone about Jesus, that same excitement should come through. Now if you look at John chapter 1, verse 29. And this is jumping a little bit forward. And we're going to come back around, so this is not going exactly chronologically. John 1:29 says, "Then the next day John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And in my Bible, and I think yours, it has an exclamation point, that he was so excited that he saw the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. And that excitement is just coming through when he was, before he was even born, and then after he baptized him, that same excitement. And then Acts 3, chapter 1, it made me think about the leaping that John the Baptist did in his womb. Made me think of this story. Acts 3, verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received their strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God." I was just thinking about how John the Baptist was so excited when he was in the presence, still in the womb of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how he saw him walking by the Jordan River, and he exclaimed, "The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And I was thinking about myself being lame as far as my sin, that I was lame in sin, didn't have any way to make myself walk or to be right spiritually. And Jesus Christ came and died for me and made that way for me to walk with Him, made that way for me to be right with God. And that excitement, that leaping and running and joyful attitude that should be in my heart for what Christ has done for me. So we've looked so far at the miraculous birth that John the Baptist had, and the excitement that he had even before he was born for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and help that be a reminder of us, for us, to be excited about our Lord and Savior. The next thing I want to look at is the purpose and preaching of John the Baptist. Purpose and preaching. If you'll look at Matthew chapter 3, please. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, verse 1. "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went about to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come into his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now an axe is laid to the root of these trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.
But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire."
So we see the purpose here of John the Baptist preaching is to teach about repentance. That he was preparing the people at that time for the King, King Jesus. And so he wanted them to understand, to be ready for the King, they need to repent, to turn from their sins, and be ready for the King of glory, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he was teaching them to turn from their sin and be ready for the coming King. The baptism was different, and we'll get into that a little bit more. This was in preparation for the King and getting the sin out of their life as much as they could do. But Jesus had not been to the cross yet, so this baptism was a little different. We'll talk about that. Okay, if you look at Acts chapter 19, and this will show a little bit about the difference in baptism. I don't know if this is a rabbit trail or what, but I started thinking about how is the baptism of John different than the baptism that you and I had after the cross and after the resurrection. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to them, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Unto what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." So we see here the difference in the two baptisms. Baptism of John was a baptism of repentance in preparation for Jesus, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then the baptism after Jesus had went to the cross, died, and rose again, that was the baptism into Christ. So it's two different baptisms. The baptism that we're focusing on today, because we're talking about John the Baptist, is the baptism of repentance. That was what he was doing. He was urging them, get ready. The Messiah is coming. You need to turn from your sin, and you need to walk as God wants you to walk. And we know that's a tough calling without the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord now that we have the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us and to lead us. Okay, and then just one verse, 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So even as believers, we still need to keep short accounts to have that fellowship. We don't lose our salvation, of course. The Holy Spirit stays with us. We're sealed with the Spirit, but we still have sin in our lives that we need to ask for forgiveness so we can have that fellowship to not be broken with our Father, that we'll be in close communion with Him. Okay, so we've looked at John's birth. We've looked at the excitement that he had, and we're looking at his purpose in preaching. Let me just go over a few things here to make sure I haven't left anything out. One thing that I thought about was that John was a son of a priest, and I'm sure that had some kind of say-so in that time, that he was kind of special. He was a son of a priest, and even his mother came from the tribe of Aaron, so he was kind of doubly blessed in that way. But he was willing to leave. That we're not sure how young. Some people say he was just a little boy. Some people say a teenager. We're not sure, but he left that and went out into the wilderness, went out into the wild and just lived by himself, lived in communion with God. So just being willing to do that, and I think about myself and other people, if we're called, are we willing to leave the comforts of our home to go out into the wilderness to follow God? And then the second thing I was looking at is talking about his purpose in preaching. Is John's purpose was to prepare the people for the Messiah
by asking them to repent of their sins and to be baptized, showing that their commitment to the coming Messiah. So we talked about that before, that his purpose in his preaching, in his baptism, was to get them ready, to point them to Jesus Christ, to ask them to confess their sins, to repent from their sins, and to live looking forward to the King. The third thing I was looking at, and this is one that I would probably be scared to do, he was willing to confront the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and later on we'll see even a king with their sin. And a phrase that I'm sure a lot of y'all have heard and I'm not good at, but he was willing to speak the truth to power. He was telling them that you're a brood of vipers, you're whitewashed, you're not real, you're fake. And he was willing to tell them that. He went right to them and looked them in the eyes, and he was willing to tell them the truth, even though they had the power. And then we'll get to the story about Herod. Well, he was even willing to tell Herod that. So are we willing to agree with God about sin and call sin out? So he agreed with God about sin, and more than just telling other people about their own sin, we should look into our own heart and be able to call sin, sin when we see it, ask for forgiveness, confess it, and turn back to God. Okay, so we've looked at his birth, the excitement that he had. His purpose was to point to Christ and to preach repentance. The next thing I want to look at, and this one, this is a whole message into itself, but was the baptism of Jesus. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And this is what John the Baptist is known for. They called him the baptizer. He was known because he baptized probably hundreds and thousands of people. But the one that we're talking about, of course, the most important one, was he baptized our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I think I'm going to go ahead and read the different ones and then come back and discuss them. John chapter 1, 32 through 34. John chapter 1, 32 through 34. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. If you will, I've got a story I'm going to tell about this. He remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So there's several reasons here that maybe possibly that Jesus allowed John to baptize him. I'm going to go over a few of them then tell a short story. Jesus identified with us, though he never sinned. He didn't need to be washed, or he didn't need to repent because he never sinned. He was perfect. But he was identifying with us that he was going to take on our sin and put him away. He was going to die for our sins, and then he was going to come up, and we were going to rise up with him to eternal life, and he was going to pay for those sins for us. So that's one possible reason that I think that Jesus allowed John the Baptist to baptize him. Like I said before, John was the son of a priest and the son, his mother was also in the lineage of Aaron, who was a priest. And think about what the priest did. They presented the lambs to God. They presented the lambs to God. So possibly, maybe, John the Baptist, being a son of a priest and his mother was in the lineage of a priest, that he was presenting the Lamb of God to the world. As he
was in that lineage, that he could have been a priest. And I think in this way, he was a priest. And he was presenting to the world and back to God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then this is the story that I have that I learned over in Jerusalem when we got the chance to go to Jerusalem. And you know, most stories are not perfect. They have places where they fit and where they don't fit. So please realize this. Our brother Jeff spoke to us Wednesday night that we're sealed with the Spirit. So once you accept Jesus Christ, at that second, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit and you can't lose the Holy Spirit. So just remember that in context of this story, that that's not what I'm saying, that the Holy Spirit can leave you. But what this guy said, his name was Dr. Francois Carr, and he had a way of making you think a little bit deeper than what you would think to begin with. So I want you to think about that dove coming down on the shoulder of Jesus Christ and it remaining there. Think about that dove remaining there. And what he was saying is that, and I've studied some of this, and a lot of y'all know more about this than I do, but there's a family of birds, and the pigeons and the doves are in that same family, but they're also species. So you can kind of break off the species, that you have certain ones that are trained to do this, like dogs that can hunt, dogs that swim, and things like that. So you have pigeons that are, can do carrion pigeons. They can deliver messages for you. They can come back to you and things like that. But most of the time, at least from what I can tell, doves are kind of wild. When I think about doves, it's hard to train them. And that's what this guy was saying, Dr. Carr. So what he said, when Jesus was baptized, that that dove came and lit on his shoulder and stayed there. And his point of the story was this, is that think about your life. Think about your life. We know we're sealed with the Spirit, but we know also that we can grieve the Spirit, we can quench the Spirit, and that's not what we want to do. So Jesus Christ had that dove there, and it makes me think that that Holy Spirit, when, and we see here God the Father was speaking, Jesus the Son was there, and now we see the Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity here as well. But the point that I'm wanting to get to is that Holy Spirit was at home on the shoulder of Jesus Christ. He was at home. He felt comfortable there. And I just thought about my own life. Does the Holy Spirit, and for about a week or two after that, stories like stick with me for some reason. When I was over there in Israel, and even when I was back here, I was thinking about, Todd, is that dove comfortable on your shoulder? Is he still there? I know the Holy Spirit's there, but is he feeling comfortable? Would somebody be able to see that dove, or am I quenching it? Am I grieving it? And I thought about this the other day, or when I was preparing for this. When I go across the street over here to Food Line for the sixth or seventh time, and I can't find a roll of tissue, is that dove still on my shoulder? So, if you will, just maybe just in your own life, just think about that as a picture, realizing that people are looking at us and we're claiming to be Christians. Is that dove, does it remain on your shoulder no matter what you're going through? So that's just a little story that I wanted to see if maybe it would help you to remember like it did me. And I have to constantly be reminded of that. But I pray that that will help us to make the Holy Spirit feel at home within our heart and remain with us on our shoulder. Living in the full power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I may not be able to get to everything, but the next one is the tough one, and I'm going to not be able to do it justice, but it's the identity of John the Baptist. If you will, turn to Malachi chapter 4. We're looking at the identity. Who was, and you, I think about ourselves, do we know our identity? Do we know our purpose? And I was thinking about John the Baptist, his identity. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse."
And then in John 1:19 it says, "Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then, are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, and saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing.'" Okay, and then, see, lost my place for a second. Okay, so we see here the identity. And then Matthew 17:10-13, I'm sorry. "And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands.' Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them about John the Baptist." So it's kind of confusing here to try to give you a big picture. John the Baptist said that he wasn't Elijah. And then Jesus said that John was Elijah, and that he came in the spirit of Elijah. It was prophesied that he was coming in the spirit of Elijah. So the best way I can and think of it is this, that he was not literally Elijah, like, come back. But he came in the power, and he was the Elijah that was predicted, because Jesus Christ, who's the Creator, we know that he knows. So he said that he was Elijah, and he came in the power of Elijah. So he fulfilled that prophecy in Malachi, that he was the Elijah that was spoken of, that he was making the way for Jesus Christ. So his identity was to prepare. One thing that I thought of that to sum this up, that's a poor way to do that. But if you can just remember this, when someone's going in, I thought about Daniel Boone or someone going across the country when the country hadn't been explored that much to the west, and you had someone going across the country, and someone was clearing the way, like cutting the trees down, making bridges, and making things so it'd be easier for other people to get across the country. That's what the identity of John the Baptist. He was preparing that way, telling the people to get ready. The king's come to, the king is coming. Get rid of your sin. I'm preparing the way for the Lord. So that's kind of what he was doing, is clearing the way, getting the way ready for Jesus Christ. And that was one of the things that Elijah was to do, to get that, to get ready for that. Now, some people believe there's going to be another Elijah coming back before the next coming, the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that will be a message for another day. But just thinking about the identity and who John the Baptist was. Okay, next, real quick about his humility. John 1:30-31. "This is he of whom said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water.'" So even though John the Baptist was born first, that his preaching started first, that he was baptizing first, we know that Jesus' disciples baptized and not Jesus himself, but his baptism started first. He realized that Jesus was first, that he was the Creator, that he was that Word from the beginning, in the beginning with God the Father. So he was putting him first, even though he was
born first.
And that his mission started first. And then in John 3:22, it says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there was a dispute between some of the disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing. He was baptizing through his disciples, and all are coming to him. John answered and said to him, a man can receive nothing unless it was given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. This is the main part I want you to get. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, and God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and gives all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So the main purpose here that I'm trying to show is that John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus Christ. That at first he was baptizing all the people. Jesus, when he started his public ministry, more people were coming to Jesus. And some of John's disciples came back and they were jealous and said, look, all of them are going to Jesus and his disciples to be baptized. What do you think about that? And John was saying that that made his joy full, seeing the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, that he was getting the attention, that he was getting the glory and not himself. So I was thinking about us in our lives, that like John the Baptist pointed, was happy when Jesus got the glory, that we shouldn't be doing things, no matter what it is, to get the glory for ourselves, but we should be pointing to Jesus and giving him, giving God the glory, giving Jesus the glory for the great things that he has done. So that's John's humility. And I'm going to have to briefly go over this, the doubts. I may end with this. I had the doubts, praises from Jesus, and then the death of John. So I think for today, I know this is a tough time for us, and maybe sometimes during this we're saying, well, why is this happening? We know God's in control. He could stop this virus if he wanted to. Why is he not stopping it? And then like our brother Steve was saying, I personally believe it's that he's saving souls through it. That people see they're in their home, they don't have all these distractions. And I saw on Fox News the other day, Franklin Graham came out and shared the gospel and asked people to pray the prayer of accepting Jesus Christ. So I believe that God is using this, but sometimes we still have doubts about things. And I just want to end with John having just a small part in his life of doubting. If you look at Luke chapter 7, verse 24. Okay, this is technical difficulties. Luke 7:17, I'll get it right this last time. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding regions. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? So that, to me, that's an amazing question. He leapt in the womb when Jesus was there. He saw the dove come and stay on his shoulder. He prophesied, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But this shows you, even with all that, There came a time where he asked this question about Jesus. He asked his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" In that very hour, he cured many infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John these things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So even during this time of doubt, and you say, well, why in the world would he doubt? Well, he's told Herod that his marriage was illegitimate and that he was living in sin. And Herod brought him in and put him in prison. So he was in prison for speaking the truth to power. He was in prison. And I don't want to claim to know what was going through his head, but he probably knew that Jesus could release him from that prison if he wanted to. But for some reason, he did not. He did not take him out of that prison. So John was in a period of doubt. But the thing I want you to focus on is this, not that, but what did Jesus do? He gave him words of encouragement that he said, "Tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, that the poor are getting the gospel preached to them." And I think about that in my own life when I'm going through a tough spell or I'm doubting or feeling down, to think about the great things that God has done for me, to think about Jesus Christ, that I know that he came and lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for my sins, and that he rose again, that God was satisfied with that sacrifice of Jesus Christ for my sin. And if I can focus on that, keep my mind focused on Christ and what he's done for me, and not on the coronavirus and not on the other things that make me unsettled or doubtful, to remember the great things that he has done, that reaffirms my faith. So I'm just so thankful that God, that Jesus was gracious to John the Baptist, that he didn't ridicule him and say, "Why are you doubting?" But he said, "Tell him what the great things that I've done," and reconfirmed his faith. And I believe that that's what happened. Okay, so just an overview of everything. We see that the main thing I want you to get is that John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus Christ. And during this time of unsettlement, that's my prayer for myself and for all of us, that we are pointing people to Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, I ask that you help us to be excited to spend time with your Son. Help us to find purpose for our lives and to follow through with that purpose. Help us to point people to Jesus as we know he is coming again. When we have doubts, help us to remember the great things you have done. And help us to be willing, as we saw John did that we didn't get to today, help us to be willing as we saw how the world has changed in this last month and how it can change so quick, that if we're asked to be a martyr, if we're asked to give our lives for Christ, help us to be willing to do that. In his name we pray. Amen.